Fifties Rob. Hey, you guys are here. I was really like, you know, who's going to come on Sunday morning? But man, there's a great crowd here this morning. Thanks for joining us. Even a few people that I, you know, didn't really recognize your face. Maybe this is your first time or you're newer to our community. My name is John. I'm the pastor here. And I've actually taken a few days off this week because my wife and I, it was my wife's birthday. We went to the happiest place on earth with a one-year-old, which I would give it mixed reviews with a one-year-old at Disney. But anyway, I am so excited. Tyler Carpenter is going to be, you know, sharing with us today. If you haven't met Tyler, you need to. Really, Tyler and Robin and Grant and Kennedy are just such an awesome family. They've been here at our church almost 2 years, I would say, and have served in almost every role, like many of you guys have, at a church plant. And really, a church is only as good as the people who make it up. And so I'm just so grateful we are better because the Carpenters are here. And so he's preaching today on God's will. And I remember because I called him like a month ago and said, hey, man, I really want to preach on this. And basically, we arm wrestled to preach on God's will. And he was like, I'm going to do better, though, because I'm like I have a real job. Like, I work out in the real world. Like, I'm in business, you know. And, you know, maybe people will relate to discerning God's will in my life a little bit differently. And so I'm excited. He has a really, really great word to share with you guys today. And again, really glad you guys are here. You know, stay safe the rest of the day. So I'm just going to do our scripture reading from a collection of Proverbs, as we've been doing in the series, walking through a series of Proverbs, you know, related to one subject. And so, you know, in your bulletin, you can turn there. There's some fill in the blanks, and you can read along with us, or we'll also have it on the screen here behind me. And so we'll read these verses, and then Tyler will exposit them for us this morning. So Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the perversity of the treacherous destroys them." And Proverbs 12:5, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but guidance from the wicked is deceitful." In Proverbs 12:15, "A fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise." And in Proverbs 16:1-5, "The reflections of the heart belong to mankind, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All a person's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs motives. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished." In Proverbs 16:9, I love this one. "A person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps." In Proverbs 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death." In Proverbs 21:5, "The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor." And then Proverbs 27:1, "Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day might bring." Well, this is God's word.
All right, well, thank you, John. You know, I think I remember the conversation a little bit differently, though. But I think wherever we landed on it, we said, you know, as long as we're preaching God's will, it doesn't matter who's up here doing it, right? Well, good morning, church. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. Before I move on, I want you to think about that, because while I do hope you are doing well, what I really truly mean to say is, how are you doing? I tend to carry a glass half full mentality, and I'd love to think that all of you really were doing well. But if I was truly honest, and if we were truly honest with ourselves, as we reflect back on this past week, I know that that may not be true for all of you. Some of you may be here today weary or even broken. Did you plan for the things to happen the way they did this week? Did the things that happened go as good or as bad as you had planned? Or if I were to ask you an even more meaningful question, how are the plans you are making in your life aligned with the will of God? You know, this weekend it's been fairly rainy with the storm that's out in the Gulf. Now, it seems like Debbie may turn into a hurricane before it makes landfall, and that always brings concerns this time of year, especially in this area. We're officially in hurricane season. I'm sure several of you that have lived here for many years already have your hurricane plans, those that are new to the area as you're planning for this season and hearing about the increasing severity of the hurricanes around here as you begin to plan. I do often find it odd as well, though. You can truly find those true Tampa natives that when hurricane season comes in, even if they're in that evacuation zone, they may say, nah, we don't need to evacuate. We're secured, right? They kind of have that odd or bold confidence about them. That's where you know those true Tampa natives. But maybe they know something better that I don't know, or maybe they have plans better than I do. But I know for myself personally, and I'm sure many of you wonder as well, are the day-to-day and long-term plans that you're making in your life, are they aligned with the will of God? For anyone that's visiting today, as John mentioned, I'm Tyler Carpenter. I'm a member here at the church. And I hope I don't stir up any fears this morning about hurricanes or any of you that don't have enough plans. You see, that's not the point. The point we're going to wrestle with today, this morning, is really about how we can plan things in our life that are alignment with God's will for our life. How can we obtain an understanding of what God's will is in our life and how we accomplish His will for us in our lives? Are you confused yet? That's what it can feel like sometimes when we are trying to unlock God's will, or even sometimes when we are trying to make a decision and we don't know where to turn. In our message, we're going to look at various elements of God's will and how we can discern God's will in our own lives, how we can align our choices and ultimately our will to fully unlock what God has in store for us as believers. We'll look at three main points of God's will today that you'll be able to follow along with in your bulletin and take notes. And as we walk through those points in the section, I'll emphasize several areas that Scripture will highlight as a way to understand each point, and also pepper in some application points that you'll be able to take away from this message. The first element we're going to look at is the ability to seek God's will. When we hear this word seek in worldly translation, it can be defined as an attempt to find something, or to make an achievement, or to ask for something. We typically learn this word very early in our lives. In fact, there's even a popular childhood game called hide and seek. I don't know about many of you, but I enjoyed hide and seek growing up, and I really still enjoy playing hide and seek with my kids today. Now, my son, who's 4, he'll usually hide in the most obvious spots, right? Under the bed covers or in the closet. And if I'm being honest, it's completely unhidden. And he's usually giggling the whole time as we're searching for him. Whereas my daughter, who's now 8, has gotten much more creative throughout the years, in a linen closet or in her clothes hamper or some of the most obscure corners of the house. And I think today that uncovering God's will or seeking God's will can sometimes feel similar in our lives. Sometimes the choices can seem certain and absolute, and sometimes we can feel completely stumped at which path we should travel next, which leads us to the ultimate question: how do we uncover God's will? The first way we're going to talk about today is simply to seek God. It can be easy to fall victim to a process of trying to seek God's will for specific items or outcomes in our lives. Rather, as we'll discuss, we should focus more on abiding by God's design for our life and by seeking a lifestyle that's in alignment with that, so that we can be more secure in our navigation of the will of God. Let's look at one of those attributes in the text of the verses we read already. Chapter 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the perversity of the treacherous destroys them." Or if you have your Bibles this morning, maybe some of your texts may read at the end of that, "The unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." So in this proverb, it highlights the integrity of the upright. As we strive to be integrable and to live a life of integrity, we must first uncover what is our source of truth. To truly know and to live through that, we must point back to that source. If we live in accordance with God's design, as outlined in the Bible, then this helps us to uncover the best path and plans for our life. And this helps to guide us in our lives. The truth is set by God. Therefore, when we seek to change that and apply that and guide us in our lives, then we are living counter to that knowledge of God. And as the text says, we will be destroyed, for this is duplicitous to the word of God. And lucky for us, God has some practical ways that we can apply this within our own lives, and one of those is to know God. We look to seek after God through Scripture and prayer and through spending time with Him. It all begins with that focus of knowing God. The other thing we must focus on is to humble ourselves before God. We often focus too much of our own selfish desires rather than humbling ourselves before God with that recognition that He is the one seated on the throne and in full control of this world. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." By knowing Christ, we can more confidently seek His will for our life, which leads me to my next point. The second way we can seek God's will, you've heard me say it a few times, is to seek God's design. Over time, as we grow with our relationship with Christ and as we grow more like Christ, this goes through a process that we call sanctification, and we become more able to define our righteousness in Christ. But we recognize that it's not by our own doing, but our admission of what Jesus did in our life. So as we continue to seek God's will through our relationship with Him, we also understand in the Proverbs, and it reads, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but guidance from the wicked is deceitful." That's 12:5, but also we apply another similar scripture that says, "A fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise." That's 12:15. So that's to say, as we create our own plans based on that close relationship with Christ, if that's in scriptural alignment, we can be confident that those are aligned with God's will. It allows us to no longer worry about our decisions and whether they are in alignment with God's plans, but look at the broader design He has for us in our life and how we represent this each day with the decisions we make and the choices we are given. We see also that without this truth present in our lives, that we can become fools. And we must recognize through our relationship with God and the truth that He provides, because if relying on our own foolish ways, that may seem right to us, as it says in the scripture. How many times does that ring true in our lives? We have the decision made, the path seems straight, but it all falls to demise. I know some of you are sitting here thinking today, wouldn't it be a lot easier if God would just speak more audibly sometimes? And that would give us advice to help guide our decisions, and we wonder, why can't we just hear from God? And while God certainly has the ability to be an audible God and has demonstrated that in the Old Testament, if that is you today, I can certainly say to you, I hear what you're saying. But as I've started to reveal, we are not necessarily seeking specific answers from God, but He shapes the foundations of our lives and enlightens us as we grow in that relationship with Him, so that as we do face those tougher questions in our life, that we've been able to apply those principles that we've learned throughout our life, and then that can equip us to live more in accordance with His will. Take, for example, a father and child relationship. It's a summer night, and that child comes up to his father and says, "Hey, can I go out and play in the street with my friends? It's about 5:30. And the father may say, "Sure, but if you'll just be back by in about 30 minutes, we have dinner at 7, we have some friends coming over, and we want to make sure we're ready for when our guests arrive." That may seem normal to you, but if I were to share that same story, but the kid's away at college and calls home to the father and says, "Hey, several of the students are going out to play at 5:30, and I'm just wondering if I can go," that would seem much more foolish, right? The child has way too much dependence on their father. That the father's not even there. They can't control the decisions of the child, yet that relationship has not grown over all those years, and there's still that same level of foundational dependence on them. So when we set our foundation in Christ, we learn how to apply His truths and His wisdom, which allows us to pursue that wise living that we've talked about through a few times through our Proverbs. So another practical application I want to share with you on this subject is to walk in obedience, which is to recognize that the truths of God outlined in His word and in His commandments, this is the obedience we've talked about throughout Proverbs. This is that fear of the Lord, which is not necessarily to be scared of, but to recognize that God, who created the universe, also knows each of us by name and laid out the plans for us in our lives. All right, so if we learn to seek God through the act of seeking God and through, or if we learn to seek God's will through the act of seeking God and also through seeking God's design, in doing so, we must also be prepared to surrender to God. And that's our second point. We want to surrender to God. Proverbs helps us to understand this biblical truth around the concept, whether we truly have free will and we make those decisions independent of the way God directs us, or whether God knows exactly what we're going to do, because he's an all-knowing God, all-powerful, and throughout our life, he has made those, and that way, that leads more toward that predestined decision that we have. I think the truth is really counter to both of those, and really, we have God that allows us to guide our own path. However, no matter what our plans are, no matter how those may impact our own lives, God will use these plans ultimately for his will in the end. Let's look at what Proverbs says in 16:1 through 4. The reflections of the heart belong to mankind, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All a person's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs motives. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of disaster. In the scripture there, it tells us to commit to the Lord. In Hebrew, the word commit literally means to roll onto, or what we can think of shifting all of our weight onto something. How many of you this morning, before you sat down, checked your chair to make sure it was stable and it was going to hold you? Or how many of you just fully committed with that unconditional trust that the purpose of a chair is to hold you, and therefore you dropped all of your weight onto the chair without even a thought of if it was going to hold you this morning? That's the posture that we see in this verse, which is that unconditional trust in God that he will provide the ultimate outcome. John Newton was an Anglican minister who was credited with writing the words of Amazing Grace, and I like what he says here. He says, "Lord, what you will, when you will, how you will." In other words, if this is our posture toward God, we can align our trust with God, and truly, if we can say, "Lord, whatever you will in my life, Lord, whenever you will that to be, and however you will that to be," that's truly the posture of surrender to God and where he will be most revealed in our lives. In Psalm 37:5, it says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this." This requires a trust in God, not trust in ourselves. To produce that outcome, we must provide a surrendered heart, and God will provide the outcome. We must also recognize, though, as it lists in verse 4, that while it is our goal to fully commit and to trust unconditionally so that we may align our plans with God, even when we don't, God is ultimately in control and working all things in accordance with his will. And this can be exciting or scary. It depends on which side of the fence we land on this. But we know that when we're not in alignment with God's will, that can have a serious impact on our lives. But friends, let me share with you that nothing that you can ever do in life, no set of events can deter God from his ultimate plans and his ultimate will here in this world. So the next application point I'd like to share with you is where we need to renew our mind, which is really a focus on the guidance we receive from the Holy Spirit. To recognize that one of the ways we can truly discern whether we're surrendering to God's will or not is to that rely on the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us through that. Romans 12:22 says, "Do not be conformed by this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, perfect will of God." And we take this action and we trust in the plans of the Lord. So we can't fully surrender to God unless we let the Holy Spirit guide us. Let's focus on what Scripture says around the choices led by the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 16:9, it reads, "A person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps." Or also in 16:25, it says, "There's a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death." So as we look at those two, which is it? Is it us making the plans of God, or the plans that God has set are the plans that we just have to follow? It's both at the same time. We often struggle to balance that, though, and we may favor one over the other, and we think our choices matter, or that our destiny is based on the choices that we make. Or if we lean too hard the other way, then everything is predetermined, so it really doesn't matter which way I live. But the Bible reveals to us that both are true. Our choices matter, and God's choices matter. The Bible does not say that our choices have no connection to our destiny, nor does it say that our choices alone determine our destiny. What the Bible does say is that He gives us the ability to make those choices as God sovereignly determines them, and both things are happening at the same time. So that is to say that we're held accountable for our actions. We are held accountable for the consequences. Those consequences are ours, both good and bad. But every day, that choice that we make is ours, and we're being called every day, though, to use our spiritual gifts, to work hard to fulfill His kingdom. But everything that's ultimately under God's sovereign kingdom and His control, and He's working all those things out for His good. And we know that when our plans fail, God will ultimately still use those for His ultimate purpose. I have a neighbor that was having a conversation with my wife, Robin, a few weeks ago, and she was sharing about the decisions her adult daughter was making in her life and how hard it was as a parent as she faced those outcomes. As a parent myself, I know how difficult it is to want to protect my children or to make the decisions for them to make sure that they're not harmed, or maybe so that the blessings of God are ultimately revealed to them throughout their life. But as they grow up, that's not a decision that I can make, just as much as you know that you can't make decisions for others in their own lives. But one of the things my neighbor shared at that time was so impactful to me, and she said, as hard as it is to watch those things unfold in her life, I have to trust that God has walked this path before me and is guiding this to His glory. You see, that's what we're talking about today. Our trust in God, that the decisions we are making in our life are aligned with how He has commanded us to live. And so that while our decisions do have weight and we do have the ability to influence, that ultimately He is the one in full control. He is the one that knows exactly the heart of us, and He is shaping that to His ultimate glory and works properly everything to its proper end. Let's apply this one here in our lives, and I would suggest we want to listen to God's voice. You see, this is a two-way communication that we have with our Father, just like any of the other relationships that you have in your life. We focus and prioritize so much that ability to speak to God. How are you allowing yourself, as you're speaking to God, to truly hear from Him? Or are we too busy speaking that we wonder why we can't hear from God in our life? That ability for us to just pause and wait and listen to what God has for us or what He's speaking to us can be a very difficult place, and we often don't go there because of how busy we are in our own lives. We as human beings don't like to wait, but as we learn to truly surrender to God, we should listen to Him for that guidance that He provides in our lives. And that brings me to my last point. As we talk through the will of God, we know that we must seek God's will, we know that we must surrender to God's will, but in order to do those things fully, we must discern God's will, which is our third point in your bulletin. All right, before you get too excited with this one, thinking I'm about to reveal to all of you the 10 tips and tricks for finally distinguishing God's will in your life, please know that we may never fully discern God's will in our lives on this side of heaven. We may not understand that completely. But today, through modern technology and evolution, we may try to discern God's will here. We turn to worldly tools that we think may help us to better answer those questions that we have in our lives. Does anyone have anything that comes to mind? As we look into how we discern the will of God, we want to first look at the timing of God. Let's look at what Proverbs has to say about this in 21:5. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. While researching this verse, I appreciated what one of the commentaries said. It changed a slight variation of two of the words, and it just provided a different perspective. So let's replace the word diligent with strategic, and the words is reckless with has impulse. Now, don't think I'm trying to change scripture here, but it's just for us today, let's go through this exercise, and if we read it this way, to provide that perspective. So let's read it again with those words. It says, the plans of the strategic lead to profit, but anyone who has impulse leads to poverty. So if we read it that way, it allows us to focus on God's message here, and that as we set those plans that are in alignment with God's will, the timing of that process is important, such that we're not unintentionally incorporating our own will into those decisions. How do we make the decisions and avoid the risk of impulse that Scripture speaks to in this passage? Sometimes we can fall prey to the mentality that God will reveal every answer to us, and sometimes we wait for that, and it's not until we have that full understanding of what we think God's wanting to say before we take that action. However, oftentimes the best way to understand whether or not decisions are in alignment with God is to sometimes just make the decision. You see, we've talked about today, and the hard truth is to wrestle with, but as we've read, our best way to know if decisions are right is to align ourselves with God, and the more we do this, then our decisions will run in parallel with the will of God for our lives. Finally, as I close out this section of discerning God's will, we have one other area I'd like to look into, which is remembering that always, at the end of the day, God is in control. I think this final verse that I'll share helps to make that point more clearly. In Proverbs 27:1, it says, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring. So see, it says here, contrary to what we may believe, or contrary to what a $20 tarot card reading may provide to you, only God knows the future and what's held before us. And today, that truth becomes harder for us to focus on sometimes. With as much information as we have at our fingertips and as much historical information and everything that we've been through as a society, it's easy to look back on that. We have tools such as predictive analytics or AI even, right, that helps us with those capabilities like we've never been able to before, to use that information and predict or project what the future will hold. In fact, even in my current job, we use data to project where certain metrics will be at the end of the quarter or the year or even in 5 years, and those help us to make decisions today that will help impact those things in the future. So you see, I'm not knocking this approach, and this information is extremely powerful for us as a society, but when we do these things, let us not forget that we are not the authors of our life. We are not promised tomorrow, and God is ultimately the one that knows the future and what that holds for us. So as a result, our best action is to make plans in alignment with the truths we have discussed already, and our plans, our hard work toward the things that God has, will help us to remain in alignment with Him. We should not boast about these plans, though, or lift these plans up so high that we lose focus on the fact that our plans are not our own, and God is ultimately in control of tomorrow. While I could go into a lot more detail about these next items, I'll leave you with two final points of applications. I mentioned one of them already, and that is to understand your spiritual gifts. As you're working through your life and you try to apply yourself in various areas of your life and you try to understand what those spiritual gifts are, maybe think of a few of these questions as you do. Does this grow me closer to God? Does this deepen my love for Jesus? Will this help me to love others as Jesus does? Or is this in alignment with God's character? You see, we may not know exactly what we're called to do here today, and that's okay, but how are you using what you are good at to glorify God's kingdom? And the other thing I want to leave you with is to honor God through your actions. We know that we're not saved by our actions. Our works is not what leads us to our salvation, but our actions do honor God through the way we respond in all situations and the actions we show as believers. Every day is important to that worship to Him. So as we began this message today with a focus on this past week, what had taken place that may have aligned or may not have aligned with the plans you had for the week, now hopefully you're a little bit more prepared as you head out into the week ahead with an understanding of what God's will is or how to discern that in your lives. But friends, let me remind you today that the devil is hard at work. He doesn't want you to live in accordance with God's will and will still steer your mind toward your will as often as he can. My wife and I moved here from Texas about 3 years ago in November of 2021. Robin and I were born in Texas. We were raised in Texas. We went to college in Texas. And most of our family still lives in Texas. I received the opportunity to come to Tampa 3 years ago to work at Tampa General Hospital. Now, leading up to this decision, I prayed for God to reveal to me whether this decision was leading my family down the path that he had laid out for us. This was not a decision that came quickly. This was not a decision that that I took lightly, and I truly felt that I leaned on the words of God and his will in my life. That surely because all things had worked out, I received the job, we found a house, the kids were landed in school, this must have been the will of God in my life. Surely I had made the right decision. It wasn't until about a year into our move when things had gotten more difficult at work and events that had occurred back home with family that I paused to think through all of the events that had led me there. And in a conversation I was having with my dad, I shared, I thought I had listened to God and I'd made the right decision to move here, but how do I know that? Or what if I missed something? I'll never forget what my dad told me in that moment when he talked about the will of God in my life. He reminded me that we may not see the full will of God when we only focus on our own circumstances. Or focus too narrowly on what God has for us, we may perceive that we know the will of God. But if I were just to step back and examine that full picture of God, what he sees, maybe it would reveal to me that moving here for a job was not what God was trying to reveal. But rather that God provided me with a job in Tampa, which would allow me to move myself and my family to this place, but that God's will supersedes that when he may what we may be looking for in him. So this isn't to say that my dad was trying to discern the will of God in my life, but only to provide a different perspective that God's will is not our own, and that we have to be open to that understanding that we talked about earlier, which is truly that what he will, when he may will, and how he may will. And that is ultimately guiding every decision. So how can we truly reach a place where we are able to say, Father, not my will, but yours be done? Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we pause before you tonight, today, this morning. Before we even speak, before we even ask, before we even raise our words to you to bless you for the week behind us, the week ahead of us, may we truly know that our goal is to be able to focus on you, but may we hear you today, Lord, as we pause and reflect on the message, as we reflect on what's ahead of us this week, may we listen to how you would guide us. What is your will in our lives, and how can we align to that will? Lord, as we've learned today, may we honor you through our actions, but may we seek that relationship with you first. May we seek to honor you by knowing you further, by being able to align with you. Lord, I pray for everyone here in this room that you know each and everyone's will, and that will may be different. But Lord, as everyone is trying to discern that will, Lord, may we find a way to listen to you today. May we find a way to hear you in a way that we haven't been able to today. Lord, unlock our hearts today and be able to expose us to what you'd have in our lives, the decisions that we should be making starting today that can align ourselves with your will. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for how you're working. Lord, we ask for your many blessings as this storm does come in, that you would take care of everyone that it touches, the path that it faces. Lord, we just ask that in alignment with your will, but also the protection that you have the ability. We do pray for that here this morning. Lord, we turn to you as we close out this morning and as we focus on that ahead. Lord, we honor you in everything that we do. So in your holy name we pray. Amen.